Well, praise God. I tell you, I've seen dance ministries in other churches, but thank you, Alex. But I have never, I've always appreciated the dance ministry here. Amen. The most anointed I've ever seen. It's been right here. This is a real hidden gem of this church. So praise God. I first service, there was a number of people who took newsletters, and I'd love to have you take them all, the rest. So feel free to take one. It goes into detail as far as, you know, some of our outreach into Ukraine. So appreciate you. Appreciate you doing that. Thank you so much. This is Hanu Hauka, who is the founder of our ministry, and you saw his picture in the video over and over again. He speaks English, Russian, and Finnish without accent. I mean, the guy's amazing. And this is Yuri Babinets. Yuri pastors a huge church in Kyiv, 6,000 people, and he and his men are very active in the Ukrainian war, even to this day. Pretty humbling. Take your Bibles and turn to Jonah. Jonah chapter 1. Anybody hear of Jonah before? Or is this new territory? All right. Quite the story. So let's just read the first three verses, Jonah chapter 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish. Say that word, Tarshish, Tarshish. From the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, found a ship which was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah wrote the book of Jonah, probably 785 to 760 BC, a long time ago. His name, very simple meaning to his name. Parents obviously loved that little baby. They called him Dove. That's what the name Jonah means. A son of Amittai. He was from a very small village called Gath-Hepher, just 3 miles from Nazareth, where Jesus was raised. His tomb is still in that region, and so that's some of the background. Many agree that Jonah actually attended the school of the prophets under Elisha. Had anybody heard of that? That wasn't in first service. All right. For most of us, including me, it's kind of new material. Possibly upon his graduation from Elisha's School of the Prophets, this young man, Jonah, entered into national fame by predicting that the king of Israel, Jeroboam II, would be successful in a war against Syria. Now, you might say, well, Ogren, where in the world did you get that? Well, let's look it up. 2 Kings chapter 14. In the 15th year of Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, became king in Samaria, reigned 41 years. Long time. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not depart from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which he made Israel sin. Listen, he restored the border of Israel from the entrance of Hamath as far as the Sea of the Araba, the Mediterranean Sea, according to the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, which he spoke through his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet who was of Gath-Hepher. So here's this young guy, Jonah, in 793 BC, we know exactly when it happened. He overnight becomes this popular young prophet. who brings a positive, patriotic message that's actually fulfilled. It's quite an amazing thing. They were victorious in a war against Syria. Syria became a buffer between them and Assyria. It's kind of confusing, Syria and Assyria. But Assyria was the world empire of that day. And so Syria, which they defeated, was now a buffer between them and this world empire. Land is recovered to Solomon's kingdom proportions, which doesn't mean a whole lot to you unless you realize that under Solomon's reign, Israel was as large as it had ever been before. So here, Israel is huge. Commerce expands. International trade flourishes. Syria serves as a buffer between them and Assyria. And Jonah, this young prophet, stands in the limelight. All right? All right? He's very popular. He brings the prophetic word, and it actually comes to pass. So it's wonderful. At the same time, there's other prophets in Israel. Joel begins to prophesy that unless Israel turns back to God, destruction was coming. Following him, others in order, Amos, Hosea, Micah, and Isaiah, all began to prophesy the same thing. Turn back to God. Turn back to God. If you don't, the warning one was, if you don't, destruction is coming to Israel. Unfortunately, they did not turn back to God. But right now, Israel is living in the glow of victory for possibly an extended period of time, maybe up to 5 years. All right? So this is a wonderful time for Israel. You know, it's a time of people's bank accounts are full and things are going well and crops are being sold and it's a wonderful season. And then one day, the word of the Lord comes to Jonah again. Okay? And I'm sure Jonah at first was excited. You know, okay, here's another word from God. Who knows what's going to happen because of this word from God? Should be wonderful. But before we go on with the story of Jonah, how did God speak to Jonah? Well, we don't know. Because the scripture doesn't tell us exactly how he spoke to Jonah. But we do know this, that God spoke to Jonah in a way that Jonah understood. Okay? God spoke to Jonah in a way that Jonah understood. How many think that God is smarter than you? Huh? That God knows how to communicate with you? I know you're complex. We're all complex. But the reality is that God knows how to talk to us in a way that we understand. How you understand, how I understand is different. How I hear the voice of God is different. We're all different. But God knows what I am like. God can communicate to me the way that I am, and that God can communicate to you the way that you are. So I want you to embrace the reality that no matter where you are at in your life, you can hear the voice of God. God can speak to you in a way that you understand. That's the reality of hearing the voice of God. Now, biblically, we know that God spoke to Israel, God spoke to his people in many, many different ways. Way back, going back to Adam and Eve, and Abram, and Noah, and Moses, and Samuel, God spoke audibly to all these people. Even Samuel, young boy. Aren't you grateful that God doesn't just speak to adults? He speaks to children as well. And it's a wonderful thing. Wonderful thing. So God spoke audibly to all these different people. Adam and Eve, Noah, Abram, Moses. You remember out of the burning bush, God spoke directly to Moses. Okay. So anybody here ever hear the audible voice of God? Anybody? Okay. All right, a couple of you have. All right, you know, and there were more first service who had heard the audible voice of God. So the reality is that God is still speaking audibly today. How many? Now for me, I don't know. I don't think I've ever heard the audible voice of God, but God has spoken to me so profoundly at times it almost felt audible. How many can relate to that? All right. So that's kind of how God speaks. But God does still yet today speak audibly. When God chose to speak to Mary, the mother of Jesus, How did God speak? God spoke to her through the angel Gabriel, through an angel. The angelic realm is a very real realm today, all right? By the way, they're right here. You might as well wave and say good morning because they're right here today with us. And many of you have experienced protection or blessing or direction or help from the angelic realm in your life. Some of you can probably relate to that. Anybody here ever seen an angel? Just very clearly saw an angel? Okay. All right, yeah, a couple of you have. All right, how many would like to see an angel? I would, maybe. Well, you will one day see an angel, but here on planet Earth before we go to heaven, you know, it'd be fun to see an angel, and maybe one day that will happen. But God still does speak through angels. That's the reality. Thirdly, God speaks through dreams. You know, four times God spoke to Joseph, the husband to Mary. Four times God spoke, not to Mary, but to Joseph, through dreams. You know, so dreams aren't just pizza dreams or bad dreams. Sometimes we get a bad dream. And you know what to do with a bad dream? Wake yourself up and stand against it in the name of Jesus. How many have ever had a demonic dream? Of course. You know, that's reality for all of us. So when that happens, you know what to do. Wake yourself up and just stand against it, and it'll go. Okay? Greater is he that is in you than is in the world. You don't have to stand in fear of some weird dream. Just stand against it, and God is faithful. So dreams are very real. God still speaks through dreams. And then Romans chapter 10 says this: faith comes by hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, 17. So God speaks to us how? Another way God speaks to us is through the word of God, huh? All right, so this is why your devotions are very important, and I would say that in my own life, you know, I'm an old dog. I've been around a long time, 73, but my devotional life has increased dramatically over the last couple years, and I find it to be more special in my life now than ever before, and so you know, prayer, the Word of God, very important. So I encourage you to spend time in the Word on a regular basis, you know, and I'm not talking about hours and hours and hours, but I'm talking about giving yourself to hear what God would speak to you through the Word of God, you know, because God does speak to us through His Word. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says that all Scripture is breathed out by God, is spoken out by God. Hebrews chapter 4, the Word of God is living and active, and sharp and distinct in speaking to us. And so it's very important that we allow God to speak to us through His Word. Now, Hebrews chapter 1 says this: He's spoken to us in the past by His prophets, but now He has spoken to us by His Son. Okay. Some of you know John chapter 10, verse 27, where Jesus is speaking Himself, and He says, "My sheep, what? Hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice." So Jesus wants to want. He wants to talk to you. He wants to talk to you in a way that you understand. All right? And so Jesus, isn't that wonderful? That he has taken time. He is so interested in you personally. Isn't that wonderful? He's so interested in you personally that He wants to communicate with you. Now, if we're not careful, you know, I assume this, that you all have a prayer life, that you all pray regularly. But if we're not careful, our prayer is almost like a grocery list, you know. I mean, we have all these things that we should be praying for. You know, family, friends, people that need to come to Christ. I've got a lot of people I pray for on a regular basis. But if we're not careful, prayer becomes a one-way conversation. How many of you like having a one-way conversation with someone? Where you're sitting and somebody else is doing all the talking and they don't give you 2 seconds to say anything. Huh? Isn't that frustrating when that happens? You guys wah 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 wah, and they go on and on and on. And then when they're done talking, they say, "Okay, I gotta go now." You know, it's kinda like, "You gotta be kidding me." I had something I wanted to say to you. Well, the same thing can happen to us in relationship to Jesus. We can go through all the things we want to pray for, and then we say, "Goodbye." Most of us say amen. All right? All right? Goodbye. And Jesus is saying, I got something I want to say to you. So what do we need to do? Get quiet. 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 Okay. 10 seconds. It's not very long. But if we get quiet, the ancient saints going way back, you know, 300, 400 AD after the death of Christ, you know, the ancients knew a lot about silence, you know. But we have noise around us all the time. You know, we got video, we got music, we got our cell phones. You know, I fly a lot. I'm going all over the country all the time. And you know what happens, you know? People stand at the airport and nobody's looking up. They're all looking down. What are they looking at? Looking at their phone, you know. So we get controlled by media so often. If we're not careful, we have so much noise that Jesus is saying, it's hard for me to speak to you because you got so much noise in your life. And so I want to encourage you to learn how to be silent and to listen by faith and to say, Lord, I want to be a Samuel. Speak, Lord, for your servant is hearing. You just say, speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Father, forgive us for creating so much noise around us that we don't hear your voice. I pray, oh God, that we would get quiet, we'd become silent, so that you can talk to us. How desperately, more than I realize, how desperately I need to hear from you. God, I pray that you will speak clearly and that I would have an ear to hear that. Jesus' name. We're all in different places of life. Some are just, you know, everything's going well, good days, so forth, wonderful days, just your average day. You know, most of our days are average days, you know. You go to work, you mow the yard, you know, wash the car, take care of the kids, you know, do laundry. You relating to me? Go to the grocery store. I mean, life. It's life. But every once in a while, it crops up in our life where we've got major decisions, you know. Are we going to move to a different community, buy a new home, different car, you know. I got concerns about my kids right now, not sure what to do. Where we really need to hear the voice of God. And maybe you're here this morning and you're going through one of those seasons in your life, and it's not going to be everybody. I don't want everybody to stand, but you're going through a season in your life right now. You're in a place where, man, Dave, I really need to hear the voice of God right now. I got stuff in my life right now. I'm trying to make decisions, and man, I really need to hear the voice of God. If that's you, I just want you to stand just right where you're at, and we want to pray for you. That's it. I have no other agenda. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. Nothing else. But if you're here and you just really are at a place, a turning point, where do I go? Left, right? God, I need to hear your voice right now. I honor you people for standing. And you know what? I think God's going to honor that. This morning, he's going to honor your step of faith this morning by standing. You believe that? I believe that. Lord, right now, I pray for all these dear friends. Many of them I don't even know. But God, you do. You love them. God, you love them so much. And you know where they're at. You know what they're going through. And you know that some of this stuff is really serious stuff. And they really need to hear your voice. And so, God, we just say,
Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. I want to hear your voice. I don't want to just run out and do my own thing. I don't want to just get detoured and think I'm making right decisions. I want to hear your voice. I want to know you're leading. I want to do what's right. And God, I know that everybody in this room that is standing is feeling that way. That God, I desperately need to hear your voice. And so, Lord, we say, speak, 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 speak. In the name of Jesus. And I give you all the praise, honor, and glory. I believe with all of my heart that everyone standing is going to hear what they need to do. May the still small voice of God come through so loud and clear to them. I pray for that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Wonderful. God bless you. So, So Jonah hears the voice of God, okay? And he's shocked by what he hears. He's shocked by what he hears because God says, I want you to arise and I want you to go to Nineveh, not to proclaim judgment upon them, but I want you to go and warn them that they would be spared. And Jonah says, you gotta be kidding me. You want me to do what? You want me to go to Nineveh? 500 miles northeast of Jerusalem? You want me to go there? This is crazy. You know, sometimes God speaks to us and we almost are tempted to say, get behind me, Satan, you know? I'm sure Jonah felt that way. Why would he feel? Well, we have to know. Nineveh was a super, super, super old city. If you go back to Genesis chapter 10, you'll see in Genesis chapter 10 that this was a super, super old city. Verse 8 says, now Cush became the father of Nimrod. And he became a mighty one on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore, it is said, like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before the Lord. The beginning of his kingdom was Babel. Huh. Did you know that? That Nimrod actually was the one who built Babel. And Erech, and Akkad, and Calna in the land of Shinar. From that land, he went forth into Assyria. And he built Nineveh. Built Nineveh, one of the oldest cities in the world, probably goes back 1800 BC, you know, which means that in Jonah's day, Nineveh was already a city that was 1,000 years old. So this is a super, super, super old city. Okay, everybody knew about Nineveh, not only because of its age and because of its size. It was 50 miles long, and it had a huge wall around it that three chariots could race across the top at the same time. But it was also the capital of the Assyrian Empire, which was ruling the world in that day, 885 to 665 BC. It was smothering the world for 220 years. The Assyrian Empire was brutal. It was horrible. It was a massive, horrible empire. It would be the Taliban times 1,000. I mean, it was just crazy, crazy. They would... People actually did this. When the Assyrian army would come in, many cities would actually choose suicide over surrender because it was so horrible. They would actually kill their own children versus have them turned over to the Assyrian Empire because the Assyrians were so horrible. They would take sharp staves and put them through people's bodies alive and then fillet them alive. They would cut off their ears and nose and tongues and hands and they would cause them to watch their own children buried alive. And Jonah is saying, I cannot do this nation, this empire, this city is so evil. There's no way that I could go and warn. I cannot do what you're asking me to do. I will not do what you're asking me to do. There's an old chorus. We used to sing it years ago. I'll say yes yes, yes. Now you know why I'm not a worship leader. I'll say yes, yes, yes. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes, Lord. How many ever heard that song? I'll say yes, yes, yes. Well, it's easy. Yeah, I mentioned first service. It's easy, you know, for a pastor to say, Pastor, the Lord is going to bless you. He's going to keep you. He's going to make his face shine upon you. He's going to give you long life and good health. He's going to bless your children and your grandchildren. And everybody says, amen. I'll take that word. Huh? We love it. How many want those kind of words? I want those kind of words over and over and over again. Amen. And how many say, God has blessed me abundantly? I mean, amazing. Amazing blessing. Okay, so we love it when, but every once in a while, God brings a hard word. A word we don't want to hear. A word that grates against us. Goes against our nature. It went against everything that Jonah stood for. His patriotism, his nationality, everything said, no way, Jose. He didn't say that, but he would say something like that. All right, I am not going to do this. I am not going to do this. And so what does he do? He actually, it says that Jonah rose to flee to Joppa from the presence of the Lord. The word flee means to run like you are being chased. So that's actually the meaning in the Hebrew, to run like you're being chased. So he did a marathon run from Jerusalem, 35 miles to Joppa. You know, and in his mind, kind of stupid, huh? You think you can run from the presence of the Lord? How many think that's going to work? That's not going to work. Psalm 139 makes it clear. No matter where you are, God is there. Now that Psalm 139 is not a fearful word. It is a comforting word. When you are in your darkest hour, when things are the worst they've ever been, when it's as bad as you thought never would happen, no, God is still there. How many have found that to be true? Amen. God is there. Praise God. So God is always there. Even in our darkest hour, God is there. And Jonah is believing the lie. He's believing the lie. He's thinking, I can run from God. I can run from God. It. You know anybody trying to run from God right now? It does not work. It does not work. So that's what he's trying to do. Now it's interesting to me that many years later, Acts chapter 10, in the same city of Joppa, the Holy Spirit confronts Peter's resistance and prejudice against bringing the gospel to the Gentile world. You remember the sheet that came down out of heaven? He was dealing with a prejudice that Peter had against reaching out to the Gentile. Well, guess who the first missionary that was called to the Gentile world? Jonah. That's this guy here. He's called as the first missionary to the Gentile world. And he's the first one to say, no way, I'm not going to do that. Maybe you're here today and you've been really struggling because God's given you a word. And it's a hard word. And you've been resisting it because everything inside of you personally says, I don't want to do this. You know, some of the hardest things for us to do is some of the simple things. Like, for instance, let's just say that I offended my brother. One of the hardest things to do for a lot of people is to say, I was wrong. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? You know? Yeah. See, it's simple, but it's hard, isn't it? Simple, but hard. And sometimes God speaks to us a hard thing. And we don't want to do it. Everything within us says, no, I'm not going to do that. But it's the Word of God. And you may be here today, and God has spoken. I'm not going to ask you to stand or raise your hand or anything else. But would you just bow your heads with me and just kind of open, all of us just open our hands to God and say, God, no matter what you're asking me to do, even when you come to me with a hard word, I am saying to you today, I will do what you want me to do. I'll say yes, even if it's hard, even if it's painful, even if it's difficult, I will say yes to you in the name of Jesus. Would you give the Lord a clap offering? Lord, we just thank you. See, God had good reason to ask Jonah to do it hard. It wasn't just to make Jonah painful, you know. It wasn't just to shake his world up. No. He had a reason. And so if he asked you to do something hard, it's for a good reason. It's for a good reason. So Jonah had an itinerary choice. It was Tarshish. Okay, Nineveh was 500 miles northeast of Israel. Tarshish was 2,000 miles in the opposite direction. Okay, so in Jonah's mind, he thought, what is the furthest place in the world I know from Nineveh? And he said, the only place I know is Tarshish. It was probably in Spain. Okay, to our knowledge, more than likely Spain. So anyhow, so he gets down to Joppa after running his marathon, and he goes down to the port, and he going from one ship to another. Where are you going? Okay, I'm going here, I'm going to Rome, going here. And then he comes across a ship that's actually going to where? Tarshish. Must be the will of the Lord. God must have changed his mind. Huh? It's all working out. Thanks be unto God. This is wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to go to Tarshish. How good that is. All right. What is the message? There is great deception in positive circumstances that contradict the word and the will of God. If you got positive stuff that happens to you, I'm going to enter into business with this guy, but he's a little bit of a shyster, but you know what? I'm going to overlook that because, you know, I'm going to make a lot of money. The reality is that we have to recognize that our commitment is not to positive circumstances, but our commitment is to the word and will of God. And sometimes that's going to involve you experiencing sacrifice rather than blessing. And that's exactly what was happening here. So what does God do? And I'm about done. And we're all happy about that. So what does God do? Jonah's down in the lower part of the ship, and he's probably been up all night, and he's ran 35 miles, and now he's wiped out, and he goes right to sleep. Doesn't realize that things are beginning to shake up above, and there's this big hurricane that begins to blow, and it only makes sense to me that it was a hurricane out of season, because the sailors were like, oh my goodness, this isn't supposed to happen this time of year. Why are we having this huge hurricane? So they didn't know what to do. So they eventually start going to everybody. Anybody know why this is happening? You know, some of these guys were superstitious, and they thought, well, maybe somebody is aware of what's going on. Maybe it's caused a problem. So let's ask everybody on board ship. They finally get down to Jonah, and they shake him awake. And Jonah spills the beans. He tells them everything that happened. And then he says something that, Pastor, you and I would never say, because it's so illogical. How many think it makes sense for Jonah to say, if you throw me overboard, the storm will stop? I mean, that makes no sense at all. The only reason I believe he said that is because God spoke to him again. He heard again the voice of God, and God said, if you don't do this, all these guys are going to die. And so he says, okay, you got to throw me overboard. And they said, no, we're not going to do that. And so they tried everything else. Nothing works. And they finally said, okay, all right. You know, ship's about ready to break apart. So they go one,
two, three. And the storm stops. You know? And they're like, oh my God. I can't believe it. You know? And you know the rest of the story. You know, the big fish, it was probably a big white whale. We don't know exactly what it was. But we do know something. He was in there 3 days and three nights. I mean, that's a long time. That is a long time. That's a long time to be in high humidity, 98.6 degrees. 98 more humid than you've experienced in Goshen, New York. All right. Not only that, he's probably up to his nose in dead fish, body acid, and you just add to that whatever you want to add. Seaweed, go on and on and on. In fact, he was Middle Eastern. So he had a nice tan until he got thrown out on land again. And he must have been lily white. I mean, he must have been white, white, white. He lost all of his color, you know, because of the acid from within the well. Can you imagine what it was like? And he says he finally Jonah chapter 2, he comes to himself and he says, you know, when I was about ready to die, I remembered the Lord. And I'm thinking, well, it's about time you remembered the Lord. Come on, guy. You know? And so he gets thrown out. Now listen, this is what I want to finish on. It's very important. All right. So here's this guy, Jonah. He has blown it big time. I mean, he's missed what God had for him to do. He's gone the wrong direction. He wants to go to Tarshish. He's created a hurricane. He created all these problems. Now he's in a horrible situation. He's in the belly of a fish. And most of us would think, it's all over, buddy. It's all over. Some of us have made really stupid decisions in life. And maybe we paid the price for it. And some of those things, by the way, some of those things aren't going to be reversed. Some things may be reversed by the grace and mercy of God. But many things that we do will not be reversed. But I have a word for you today. If you've gone the wrong direction, you've gone the wrong direction, and you've paid the price, and the enemy is roaring in your ear saying, it will never be different. I want to say to you today, if you will humble yourself and come before the Lord and acknowledge the wrong direction of your life, God will not only forgive you, He will speak to you again. He will give you a new word for a new day. And I am so grateful for that. Lord, I just pray for anybody within the sound of my voice. Gone the wrong direction, maybe tried Tarshish, experienced a hurricane, difficult things have entered their life, and it feels like it's all over because they've kind of blown it. But I am so grateful, Lord, that if we will simply humble ourselves, acknowledge the direction that we've gone, ask your forgiveness, you will speak all over again. I thank you for that. I praise you for that. I pray, oh God, that in the place of hopelessness, there would be hope today. In the place of emptiness, may there be a sense of future today. I pray in the name of Jesus that in the sense of instead of feeling the despair of wrong decisions, may they have the joy of forgiveness and a brand new beginning in Jesus' name. We give you all the praise for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Yeah. Amen.
When darkness tries to roll over my bones, when sorrow comes to steal the joy I own, when brokenness and pain is all I know, I won't be shaken, I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. No longer has a place to hide. I am not a captive to the lies. I am not afraid to leave my past behind. I won't be shaken, I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love.
Well, saints of God, were you blessed by that message today? Were you blessed? Hallelujah. Well, I pray that you were. God has called us to hear his voice. And I don't know about you, but I believe that it's one of the most important things in a Christian's life. The whole message of the upper room in the book of Acts was culminated by the fact that people heard the word of God in their own language. They heard what God wanted them to hear. And that is what God still does today. God is calling us to be a people who are able to hear the voice of God. That's what a relationship is all about. Relationship connotates a dialogue. It relates to being able to not only listen, not only to speak, but to have an understanding so that action can be taken. The whole reason we need to hear from God is so that we will know what to do. So that we will even better know what not to do. Because sometimes knowing what not to do is more important than knowing what to do. And you and I are in a place where we're being reconciled to God. He is restoring the relationship that Adam lost in the garden, so that we can hear from God. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice," and then they follow him. And that's what this is all about. And I'm so thankful for this word today. Thank you, Pastor Dave. Thank you very much for allowing God to speak through you today. And I didn't share with him what our theme was or what we've been talking about, but this whole month, in fact this quarter as we're beginning to go through the summer, is about the redemptive work of Christ, restoring relationships. And I believe this is going to be the summer where God restores relationships. God renews and he revives. And that's why it's so important for us to understand and for us to know that God wants to speak to us so that we can know what God is saying, so that when God does things, we will recognize it as being God at work. And God wants us to be able to hear. Hallelujah. So as we close today, the altars are open. If you desire prayer, we will pray for you. And I'll have our leaders come up, and Pastor Dave can come back. And if you desire prayer, if you really want to enhance your relationship with God, to hear the voice of God, whether it's through the Word of God, sometimes God uses people. In fact, most of the time, God uses people. He brings people into your life, and they say things, and they don't come and say, "Thus says the Lord," but they just share what is on their mind to share. And that comes from God. A lot of times it comes from God, and we don't recognize it until sometimes later. It's like, wow, you know what? That was really incredible that they told me that, because then it happened. And that was because God was giving you the ability to hear. And as we go through life, we begin to recognize how God uses people to speak into our lives so that we can know what is going to happen, so that we can recognize that God is with us and that God is at work. And sometimes it's so that we can make necessary changes so that we can avoid a lot of problems or issues, so that we can find ourselves in a place that is beneficial and avoid hardships and difficulties. And that's what God is doing, and that's what's happening even in the world today. God is a God, and this is something that God has taught me over the years, that the importance of being able to hear from God is so that you can know what's happening, so when it happens, you're already ready for it. And you're able to deal with it because you knew it was coming. And that's what God is doing for His people. That's what God does for His people. And so being able to hear from God is probably the most important element or aspect of the Christian life. And the way God opens that door, that ability in us, is through the Word of God. And as we study the Word of God, we begin to recognize the word of the voice of God. And when God begins to speak to us, even through other people and through situations and circumstances, we begin to hear God saying things to us in a way that we understand it. It's not necessarily the same, as Pastor Dave pointed out, for everybody. But it all begins the same way. But God expands His ability to reach us and to bring revelation to us as our relationship with Him grows and develops. So I thank God for this word, this message today. Well, join me as we pray, as we close tonight. And we just are so grateful and so thankful for you, Pastor Dave. Thank you for your ministry, for Great Commission Media Ministries, and what it's doing around the world. And thank you for your ministry to us. And I'm so thankful for your ministry to me. And He's been my elder over all these years, who's spoken into my life and has helped me and encouraged me. And I know He's, I don't know if He's still an elder in the Midwest for the FCA. He is. He's like the godfather of the FCA. He's one of those guys that everybody respects and loves. And His name is always whispered. You hear it, Dave Ogren. And everybody's like, "Ooh, yeah." And no matter where you are in the country, He's been there. And He is such a blessing to all of us. And we're so grateful and thankful how God uses Him. And He's so unassuming, and He doesn't really realize that God is using him. A lot of times He's just doing what He does, and it's amazing. And in the same way God does that in Dave Ogren's life, He wants to do that in all of our lives, and He does do it in your life. Don't underestimate how much God is using you when you go to work, when you go to school, when you speak to your relatives and friends. God is using you. Learn to hear the voice of God. Trust in the Lord. Let the word of God come alive in you, and God will use you in ways that you couldn't imagine. Don't do what Jonah did and run. Hallelujah. Because if you run, you're going to have to know how to swim after that. So let's trust God and let God use us. Well, Lord, we are so thankful for your word today. And we just ask, Heavenly Father, that you would arise in the midst of your people, that you would strengthen us. Help us, Lord, to be the ambassadors that you've called us to be in this lost and dying world, this world that is struggling with understanding its own reality, even knowing what is true and what is right, and to come to a place of order out of the chaos that Satan has brought into the minds of so many people. Lord, we just ask that you would help us to hear your voice, to follow your word, and to obey. We know that obedience is better than sacrifice. It ultimately leads to life, everlasting life. And we thank you, Lord God, for all that you are doing in the midst of your people. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Well, God bless you all, and thank you for coming to the Orange County Gospel Fellowship today. The altars are open. May the Spirit of the Lord be with you as the glory of God is revealed in your life. Amen.
Hallelujah. I won't be shaken. I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance.